Yeah, so today we have another episode of the Becoming Cosmically You podcast, and I'm really excited. We have Charlene with us. So, hey, Charlene, let us know who you are and where you come from.
Hello, this is from down south, so South Australia, which is exciting. So it's a different time of the world for you. My name is Charlene Lynch. I'm a speaker and a thought leader on Mind Shift, the future of mindset. When I'm not speaking on stage, I'm a speaker coach. And I'm not doing that, then I'm a business coach and I specialize in intellectual property. So speaking to people who are geniuses at what they do, extracting their good stuff and basically making pretty pictures out of it. So I'm totally dyslexic, and it's interesting because when people speak, I see pictures. So it's basically taking the good things that you do, creating infographics, creating diagrams so that you can easily explain that to your clients.
Oh, I love that. I love the visuals as well because I think a lot of people miss out on that, right? That's why video is like so effective because people actually want to see you, right? They actually want to see something tangible. And I think a lot of the times people get washed away with getting the words right and the marketing right. But just show up as you are, right? And just say what you've got to say.
Yeah, it's so true. I find a lot of the people that I work with, they're experts at what they do, but they think at chapter 20 and their clients that they serve are at chapter one. So it always is the case that they're talking to the problem, to the challenge, to the solution at this level, and they're missing the language point at where the client is at this chapter one. Yes, and this is why visuals will just cut through that. And so they'll give you it's like a common language. It's like a language we can all share. And for those listeners today who are on the woo side, you know what I mean? Like, we get images, we get information, and quite often it's visual. Yeah. So we'll get diagrams or visual interpretations, and then it's up to us to figure out what that means. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that because oftentimes it is quite difficult at times to explain something so technical, right? So how do you work with spiritual entrepreneurs, presumably?
A lot of my clients, so I attract a lot of woo, and I think it's because I'm woo. I think, like, we speak the same language. I speak the language of frequency. It's predominantly what I speak about on stage too. So especially to people that don't even understand. So I've found common language for just general people to sort of have a little bit of a window open to the woo side by joining their language of perhaps maybe physics and science to our metaphysics, and our woo stuff. So I love that. And so, yeah, I do have a lot of woo in my proximity, and I love it because I love the way they think. They're heart-centered, and a lot of them are a little introvert. And on the outside, I look like an extrovert, but I'm actually an introvert who's learned really well to be an extrovert. So I get the internal stuff. Yeah, I'm. You know, I've, when I go away, we go away because we want to get away from everything, and we'll just stay in a nice Airbnb or a lovely place, and it won't be about human interaction. It'll be quite the opposite. It'll be about literally hiding. And that's what recharges us. Yeah, my husband's the same. Yeah.
I think a lot of us can relate to that, especially those people who have like very client-facing roles. I think it takes a lot of energy for people, and one of the things that I see in my work is people are like giving their all and some to their clients and taking on so much responsibility for their clients and going over and above. And then oftentimes, especially women, not leaving anything for themselves. And I think it's so damaging to the industry that we almost that the collective is programmed to do that. And I'm there out there going, no, let's do less. Let's take 4 days off a week. Let's only work for 3 days. Let's flip it on its head. I'm always like, right, how can we do it more effectively in less time?
Yes. I hear everything that you're saying. In fact, a lot of clients say when we're doing the process, I have been undercharging, and people have been telling me before, but it's not until we've laid it out on the table that we can see that I'm going, okay, I can really see now. That's what the clients are saying. I can see what I've been giving and what I've been taking. And So I love that because it gives them that opportunity to shift their self-worth, shift their self-esteem, and now come from a different place where they're owning their own worth and their own power so that they can play a bigger picture and still make more of a difference to more people as well. Yeah, I love it. That's why you can tell it lights me up.
And so, where do you think the kind of disconnect comes from with regard to price and positioning themselves? Where do you think that the root is to that? Where do you think that comes from?
So it's not exclusively woo. So a lot of people say it's, when you're in the spiritual world and the things that you do in that space, that they question that. But it's not. I actually see it in every level. I see it in corporate as well. I see it in busy executives. I see it with people that run eight companies. Like I, it's so it's not that. I think it's a human condition. So if you're human and you're experiencing that, well, then it just proves you're not an alien, really. So it's okay. It's part of the human condition. And I think so in Australia we have what we call the tall poppy syndrome. So like if you like make too much noise about yourself, people will like, they'll rip you up like a tall poppy, because you're making too much noise. So but we need, and as an entrepreneur, we need to do that. So it's sort of a bit counterintuitive. But we still need to come from a humble base. So here we've got humble base. Don't make too much noise, but you need to make noise to get attention. So there's all of these things happening, and then there's also the frequency alignment as well. So if we don't have that internal alignment to the to what the goal is that we're looking for, the outcome to how we want to run our business, we will find ways to sabotage it. So one of the things that I do, I spend lots of time finding out how do you tick, what works for you. How do you want to show up? I get clients that say, look, I want to be a speaker because I'm a speaker, so I attract a lot of speakers or speakers that are in the process of becoming speakers. And I say, okay, well, how do you want to turn up on a daily basis? Well, if they tell me they don't want to fly and they don't want to live out of a suitcase and I certainly don't want to live in a hotel, I'm going to go, I don't know if this lifestyle's for you. And without fail, so I run a podcast, and when I have a chat to people that have like made it, what comes out that's really interesting is that they've had a life pivot when they've realized that they're doing a life that they don't like to do their life anymore. So they might have been a rock star and then realized, actually, I want to be at home on the couch. Or they've been a famous artist and they're like, no, actually, I want to do this. So it's fascinating. And when we have a real understanding to how we want to turn up, how we want to show up, and then build a business that supports that, you don't have to work a day in your life. It comes from ease and grace, and you just turn up and you just do you. And it's easy. It's not hard. It's not that heavy push. It's not like you're doing the heavy lifting. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, totally. I always say it's humans stopping humans. Like all my clients ask me, who's stopping me? I'm like, you. It's you. Mainly. Go look in a mirror. Yeah. And I always say that humans make things like way more difficult than they need to be. Yeah. Is that what you use in your client sessions? I'll show
There isn't a day that I don't pull that mirror out. That's why it's just there, because it comes up. And when they see me pull it up, they go, and they repeat the same words because they know what I'm going to say. So yeah, it's a thing. It's a thing. But isn't that right, Louise? As a coach, it's our job to hold the mirror, literally.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm always reminding people that I am here just as your side mirror. I am not your guru. You get to be your guru over me guiding you, you know. And I think, I don't know if you see this in your work, Charlene, but I see a lot of people putting themselves on pedestals in the wrong way in the industry and like really position themselves as, you know, I know everything, follow me. And I'm like, no, I just know the things I know so I can lead you to where you know everything, because you are your own guide, right? You are your own GPS. And I think more of the ease and grace narrative needs to come through, and more of the you are your own guru and you are the one stopping you needs to come through. So I love that you're beating the drum on that. It's so important.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I love what I do as an entrepreneur, is that I get to hold the space for people who are experts in their field and help unpack the brilliance that they have, so that they can bring that new package, that new way of doing life, the new way of doing business to market. Yeah. And what does that look like, and the nuts and bolts and stuff. So I've got a background in accounting, and I'm also a holistic psychologist. So all of that and 30 years of business, like put all that together, plus dyslexic and OCD and ADHD, mix it up a little bit, and this is what you get.
Wow, it's so interesting, isn't it? I think most of us who work in this kind of industry are on the spectrum on some level. I know, and I think I realized it more and more when I had my own children, and I saw what one of my children was like, and I was like, well, if she's on the spectrum, then that's got to be me as well. But it's funny how we have labels now, don't we? Whereas before, when we were growing up, we didn't have labels. We had like naughty kids, hyperactive kids, kids who had too much sugar, kids who don't listen, who are stupid. You know, we had all these crazy labels, you
That
know.
was me. All of those lists, that was me. That was me. So
That
I
was
was
it.
all of those. They didn't diagnose me until I was well into my teenage years for dyslexia. They just thought I was dumb. Hello.
Oh,
And then the ADHD came later because it just wasn't a thing. It just wasn't a thing.
yeah.
So yeah, now everybody's got it, which is good. So maybe, perhaps it's maybe another human condition, and that we've just all share this on some level, or either a lot or a little bit. Yeah. So perhaps maybe again, it's part of the human condition.
I think so. There's so many things that we put down to labels or boxes, where actually most of the time it's just an illusion, isn't it, of this 3D self that we are alluding to be. I always tell people that you are not who you think you are. Like, you are not a human. You are not your limitations. You know, you are everything. You are consciousness, and it's quite fascinating. I like watching humans. They make me giggle a lot.
My husband and I wear people watchers, which is great for us because the front balcony on our house is over the top of what we call Linear Park, which is a 30 something kilometer park that runs the length of the River Torrens. So people are walking up and riding up, and sometimes you see a horse, but it's amazing. So we just get to sit on our balcony, have our cup of tea, and just watch the people pass by. It's like sitting in a cafe. And it's fascinating because we only get this part of their conversation. So we play a game. So they'll say a couple of words and then we finish the conversation, and our version is always so much more interesting than whatever it was they were talking about. I love
Oh.
it. Anyway, that yes, I love people watching. It is and look, it's you know what? It's beautiful to be human this time round. It's a wonderful experience. And if we can embrace it in all of its light and its shadow, and we can maybe not take it as seriously. I'm a Virgo, so we sort of take some things a bit too seriously. But if we can maybe take it all with a grain of salt and not so seriously, I think we can enjoy the human experience this time round. With ease and grace.
Yeah, I always say that. Don't take it too seriously. You know, I'm always saying, like, don't take it too seriously. Just get the fuck on with it, or it gets to be easy. Those are like a few of my catchphrases.
I love it. I love it. I love it. We must be sisters somewhere along the line.
Yeah, definitely. Seems like we were made from the same stuff. So where did your journey kind of start? Because I know that you've had some like challenges, may I add, from your story I was reading just before we got on. So, like, did you find, yeah, I'm getting tingles now when I say this, but I imagine you found your path through the pain and the suffering that you went through.
Yeah, so I thought I was leading my life to the right direction. I built a sizable beauty business, and I love beauty. I love all things beauty. I think it's great to help people feel pretty on the inside and on the outside, and to make them feel good about themselves. I love self-care and everything that the beauty industry really is at the core of it. So I love that. I built a sizable business, and in the meantime, I had obviously, at some level, I wasn't living life on purpose, and I had picked up some complicated issues. So that had metastasized and exaggerated and catastrophized. Like they just got bigger than Ben-Hur. So, I was an alcoholic for more than 30 years. Yeah. And we're not talking just a little bit, I'm talking 5 bottles a day. So I was a highly functioning alcoholic. ADHD. To the point of total distraction. And my OCD was so bad, it included self-harm. So, not the good type of OCD, not like managing stuff OCD. We're talking self-harm OCD. And I was a chronic hoarder. So, I'm not talking just a little bit of stuff in a cupboard drawer. I'm talking 33 cubic meters of shit. Yeah, a lot of stuff. So I was lit. So this is what I know now out the other side of being a recovered hoarder is that. That is frequency. So everything that you have in your life, and this is every relationship, your email list, your data, your laptop that's full, your phone that's full. This is all energy, it's all frequency, and it's slowing us down. And when we can be lighter, have less, we travel truer, and we can have the speed to manifestations faster as well. So not in a good place. And then I had a life tragedy, which I'm sure many of our listeners have had a life tragedy of one shape or the other, because it is for us a pivotal changing point, a pivotal opportunity for us to go one direction or the other. And that doesn't get much harder than losing your only child, you know. And I didn't see it coming at all. It was So trigger alert for anyone that's listening, it was suicide, and he was a week off of his 18th birthday. So I found him, I tried to resuscitate him, and I was unsuccessful. The ambulance came, they tried. I was praying the whole time. I'm a woman of faith. I was praying that they would be able to do the thing that I couldn't do. I'm madly praying, still praying, and then the ambulance officer comes out of his room, and look, I know he said something. I couldn't even hear what he said, but the look on his face, like that was enough. I knew that they hadn't been successful, and I just crashed and I burned. But I was still praying as I hit the floor, and I heard the one word that made the impact. Now, I thought someone had said the word to me, but clearly it wasn't any person. And I thought everyone else could hear the word too, but nobody else did. And that word was forgive. So, that clearly was a message.
Oh, wow. I'm pinging everywhere now.
And, later on, when I was able to stand up and I was breathing again, the ambulance officer said, "Do you want to come in and say your goodbyes?" And so I did. And my baby boy, my 17-year-old baby boy, had just won the under 16s, well, sorry, under 18s rugby. Like, he's a big kid, 6'2". And so I lied down on the ground next to him, and I rested my head on his chest. And I said, "Mummy loves you, and I forgive you for your choice." So what I didn't understand at that moment in time is the power of me going through a full body forgiveness. Out the other side, I can explain it and I can language it, but at that moment in time, I really didn't understand the significance of that moment. And so that began me on a completely different frequency than everyone around me. So that meant I was in a different position to help other people go through the grieving process, to organize the funeral and do a speech at the funeral, and all the things that maybe you wouldn't be able to do if you weren't, in that space of forgiveness. So I've got to say, if you're listening today, who do you have to forgive? And more often than not, it's ourselves. I forgave my son instantly. It took me, and I'm gonna need a tissue now, sorry. It took me forever to forgive myself. So mother guilt is just, it's a thing. It's solid as a rock. So it took me quite a long time to work through that, but the forgiveness of my son allowed me to work through the other things that I needed to. So I've got to say, if you're looking for an answer, forgiveness. And then the next thing that happened, and this happened on the same night, but if I hadn't been able to forgive him, like in that instant space, then the next thing would never have happened. So later on that night, the police are there in hordes. So there's a lot of police there, as that's what happens in this case. And by this stage, there's family members and other people in the house, and I'm sitting on the couch, and they're actually interviewing everybody because they think it's suspicious circumstances, because there's no note, there's no reason. So I'm going to say they're interrogating us. Yeah. So that's sort of what it felt like, energetically. So I'm sitting there with my feet just tucked in underneath myself, and I'm staring at my giant cup of coffee, which is going cold. That's pretty significant because I was like a major coffee drinker. So to drink 5 bottles of alcohol a day, you need to drink 8 cups of coffee. Like, it's a balancing act. And I said out loud, "I'm going to thrive through this. I'm not just going to survive. That's what Scott would want." Now, that was obviously so significant because the police wrote it down in their in their journal, and I was questioned on that later, like, because apparently that's not something you say on that night or ever, really. But that was the second thing that happened. So that's the power of decision. So I had no idea what a thriving life looked like when you add it up: alcoholic, OCD, ADHD, a hoarder, chronically overweight, and I had lots of health issues as well. So I didn't know what it was. And so I think that goes to show, if you're listening today and you're wondering, what's my way out of this, you don't necessarily need to know the path. And I don't think that's always for us to know. I think you just need to make that solid decision that you've got, that you're going to change, or that this is the outcome that you're looking for, or that you're working towards something. And then as everything comes up, then you can make sure that those decisions are in line with the outcome that you're looking for. And so the third thing that happened, which was the next day, nobody slept that night at all. But the next day, when we sort of got out of bed, even though we weren't sleeping, is the first thing I did is I went and grabbed for a spiral bound book, and I just started writing out all the things I was grateful for, which is an odd thing to do in that space within 24 hours of that happening. But I knew enough about gratitude to know that it's the thing that I had to do. I had to find gratitude in everything. And so that began the journey of really embracing gratitude on a completely different level than I've ever embraced it. And I remember the journal, like one day between the day that he passed away and the funeral, like it was only one word on the journal, the gratitude journal, and that was sunshine, because that was the only thing that I could find to be grateful for that day. But I've always found at least something. And that's what's really, the science behind it is, it's raised my frequency. So, gratitude's right up there with joy and love, 540 hertz. So it's allowed me to shift out of the blame, the shame, and the low frequencies, and be able to exist at a higher plane on a higher frequency. And then you become magnetic. Yeah, because other people are attracted to the higher frequency. And then as long as you've made that decision to move forward, then everything flows. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the other thing you have to decide as well, my team are just saying, is to leave the old behind. And I think people forget that, to leave that identity and that label. I mean, that is a massive subject area that I don't think enough people talk about. They talk about decisions and moving forward and transformations. But I'm like, well, if you're still having patterns where you're saying you're this or you're that, that's where you're going to stay, regardless of what you want, And I think a lot of people do that. Another thing I say to my clients is watch your fucking language, not because they're swearing, because I'm like, listen to what you just said to me. I am this. And I'm like, the more you keep saying that, the more you're going to stay where you are. Why don't you tell yourself, I am something else, more high vibe?
Absolutely, on every level. Language creates the patterns, doesn't it? It comes in our thoughts, and then it comes out as our language, and we can change our thoughts by changing our language on every level. And it's interesting that you should say about the identity. And I was only just talking about this to my husband the other day, is that when I was going through the process of giving up alcohol, I'm now sober 8 years, is that I was more scared about losing my identity as that party chick that can have a good time, the life of the party. Because as an introvert, it's the only way I can become the life of the party is social lubrication. And I was more worried about losing that identity as that girl, as that Sheila, than anything else, which is bizarre, isn't it? That you would hang on to that, because we literally hang on to our identities with our claws. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you still see humans referring to themselves as their personality, and I'm like, no, your personality is something that's been given to you. It's programming. It's what someone's told you you are, or what you believed of yourself, but really you are everything, right? You are everything and anything you want to be. We've interviewed quite a lot of super successful people who are really wealthy on this show, and identity comes up time and time again, actually. And I remember this one guy, super successful, got over a million followers or something like that, got a massive following, and yet how he appears online isn't how he appeared when we were having a chat. And identity was just coming up time and time again. And I was just like, I don't understand why people like almost fabricate a persona. Like I turn up sometimes in my pajamas, to my lives in client sessions, like with my hair wrapped up in a scarf, and I'm like, "Woo, here I am." Everything I do is just me. Like even my children tell me off sometimes for swearing. They're 6 and 8. They're like, "Mommy, stop it." I'm like, ooh, okay,
I love
sorry,
it.
sorry,
I love it.
sorry, kids.
I'm going to go. Identity is another human condition. I think that we create this, we attach our ego to it, our personality comes from it. And then it's the thing that we really need to smash apart in order to become the thing that we need to become. So I feel that maybe tragedy, these life lessons, the ones that really hit us the hardest, the ones that shake us at the foundations, are the ones that are meant to break apart the identity.
I agree. We've also had quite a few people who have had a serious life tragedy. Either, they've had a near-death experience, or they've had a child passing, or a family member, a close sibling, and they said from their experience they realized, like you were saying, like so much connectedness, so much forgiveness, so much gratitude for the gift that this person came into their life. We had also someone who was a twin on the show. And she said that through the passing of her twin, she realized that the twin gave her a gift in order to carry on with her life. And I just think it's such a beautiful, yeah.
Oh, exactly. So I feel that my son gave me a gift. Because if that hadn't happened, where would I be now? What would I be doing? Would it have been me hanging there? So yeah, thanks. I'm gonna need another tissue.
That's okay. Let it out. Don't keep it. Yeah, like when you said that, I saw like a picture of him almost giving you the baton of life, my team said, in order that you could carry on and create your life. And so, like, what a unselfish decision that people make even before coming into these bodies, that they are going to give somebody that they love dearly a greater chance of an experience here. And I just think that's so beautiful.
I thank him every day. I talk to him every day. And all my relatives, actually, we have wonderful conversations. I love it. People might think I'm a bit batty, but so what? It doesn't matter. It's what makes us feel good, and whatever we do that comforts us, regardless of what other people think. I think really what other people think is none of our business, and I think we took that a feather out of your cap, and we did life that way. I think we'd be able to turn up differently.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I mean, I love social media, don't get me wrong, but sometimes I look at social media and I'm like, oh, it makes me cringe. I'm like, that, you don't need to do that on social media. As in, like, you can tell with people's photos sometimes that it's a lie, or they're over exaggerating, or they're trying too hard. And I'm like, you don't really need to try that hard, because energy doesn't lie, and people will tell within a second of speaking to you whether you're genuine or not.
Oh,
We
on every level. So client test, so as a business coach, the one of the things that I see are so much is client testimonials and how they talk about their clients and the outcomes and stuff they get. And I'm like, wow, can you not feel that when you type that? Other people can read it and they can feel it themselves, even if they're not necessarily intuitive. There's an energetic disconnect. So why are you doing it? I still don't have an answer for that one, but I encourage the people that I work with to come from that space of authenticity, because the cover's going to be taken back eventually anyway. And we want to turn up authentic and transparent as well, so that we're, and I think that sharing my stories of addiction and my past, I think that is almost sometimes a get out of jail card for other people to be able to have those conversations about what's happening in their life as well. I think that it's better to be raw and tell the truth and how it's really happening.
And tell the truth about everything, I always say, because everybody has challenges, everybody has lessons, everyone has things that they don't want to talk about. So one of the things that my team made me do, I call them my team, but like I'm at the stage now where I just see them as myself, you know, my team, but I call them my team anyway. And like I was told that I need to basically share all everything in my cupboards, everything in my skeleton, you know, all my skeletons. And that for me was an amazing journey because it felt like no one could ever find anything on me that I haven't already shared. You know, my cupboard was clean again.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Yes. And I think that we can share it in a way that's still going to edify other people, so that we're not doing it from that low frequency of the victim. We're doing it from this is it and this is that. And so I can now have a conversation about that. And I think that's also empowering other people to have similar conversations, to get the weight off, to get the energetic weight off, you know. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, because I think a lot of people carry that energy and they carry those stories. And I know I used to be the same. You know, I've got a terrible, in inverted commas, backstory, but I am so thankful and so grateful that I've got that story because it's that deep level of empathy that I've gone through and forgiveness and gratitude for the people who did those terrible things to me, in inverted commas, because then I can connect with people on the same level at that deep level. So I think unless you've got to the stage where you're deeply thankful for even the worst person and how they treated you, then you've still got some work to do, right?
Absolutely. And I think also, not a popular subject, but taking that level of responsibility, even the bad things, you know. So I love Ho'oponopono because it, like, that's where the journey begins. And I think when I reflect back about the bad things that happened to me, well, I'm going to go for me, that when I was able to take some level of responsibility, not from a victim space, but from a human space, it really changed the paradigm, how I looked at it, and it allowed me to heal at a deeper level as well. Yeah, exactly.
That's beautiful. I love that. So, what does working with you look like if any of our readers and listeners are kind of interested in stalking your energy? What does that look like, Charlene?
So I love to run a masterclass for the front end of funnel, and it gives people a preview of what it looks like, and it helps them go on the same journey as a client looking at what I offer, as their clients would see of them. So it gets them to see what the end could be in mind, and it gets their brain thinking. So I really, really love that. And if you've missed one of my masterclasses, they're called Expert Authority, then you can always reach out to me. I'll always have a conversation with you. But I find that a little bit fussy now because I've been doing it for a little while, and I don't work with everybody. We need to be an energetic match. If we're an energetic match, I will get you to a completely different level. If we're not an energetic match, it will annoy me. Can I say that? It will actually annoy me, and you'll get frustrated. You'll get, like, that's the outcome. If I'm not a good match for you, you'll get frustrated and I'll be annoyed. And we don't need those low frequencies. So let's have a conversation and see if we're a good match. And yeah, I've got a couple of different ways. I really love one-on-one because we can go under the layers and get to the stuff. And then I can see that we can have serious changes in the way that you've processed, so that you can move on a completely different level, where you can have that energetic attachment at a different level, and also help you a lot with your manifestation in and around finances and money and those sorts of things. Because that's the one thing that I notice as my clients scale, that's the sticky point. You know, it's not your systems. It's not your marketing. It's not your content. It's not your messaging. It's your frequency attachment around finances and money. So when we can get that in check, then, like, literally everything just turns around very, very instantly. So I like one-on-one, but I also have a group program, and then I also have a do-it-yourself. So if that's a better financial option for you, I have a do-it-yourself program that you can do it self-paced, and we still get a check-in at the end. But yeah, I love the work because you get assets, you get stuff to take away. So you get a pitch deck so that you can use that for your front end of funnel. You also get a sales brochure as well, get a proposal brochure. You get all the things that you'll need for a workshop, the bones of your book as well, whether it be an ebook or the book or the next book that you're writing, and whether your front end of funnel wants to look like retreats. So I help people design their retreats. And also their half day and their full day workshops, all of those sorts of things. They're the things that I help you structure based on the thing, the one thing, the one disruptive idea that you're bringing that's going to get people's attention and speak to your clients at chapter one, even though you're coming from a chapter 20.
Yeah, that's so important, isn't it? I think people sometimes make things more technical as well. Like it doesn't have to be technical.
It's not, it doesn't. And this is like some of my clients that are doing the most amazing thing have the least technical funnels of all and least technical approach. And so it doesn't have to be techie. In fact, sometimes energetically, when it's too techie, it's too not connected to the audience. So there isn't that level of connection. So yeah, and that's why I feel it's really important to understand you, how you think, what how you best turn up, what you want your day to look like, so that you build a business, you build a life and a business that's going to support you to where you want to go. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's so important, the business and the life. I think a lot of people I see in the coaching industry like taking coaches co taking courses from coaches and then creating something that their coach has created, and it's like it's such a mismatch. It's like it takes a little bit of time, doesn't it, to find your alignment, and it takes a little bit of practice. And I think people are missing out those steps. I think, I feel like saying to someone, like, go out there and just spend 5 years serving people, and then you'll probably get on the right track. You probably
Yes.
don't need all the things that you think you need. You just need to go out and speak to people, see what they want, see how you can help them, and everything
Exactly.
will unfold.
So many of my clients have either come up with their own concept or they're like a Frankenstein. They've got lots of bits and pieces of everything, different modalities, different things that they've learned, but they haven't been able to put it together in their own intellectual property. So that's really what I do. I take everything and put it together to make them this one thing that's them. So something they can trademark, something they can license, something they can franchise, something that can scale their business to the next level. So I love it because it's like it's life purpose stuff. It's putting that together in a tangible business. So it's like I was supposed to be an accountant. I was supposed to be a holistic psychologist because they're the things that I needed to get this job done. And I was also supposed to be dyslexic because when people speak, I see pictures. So I know what it's supposed to look like. Yeah, because I know how it makes sense to somebody who's looking at it rather than reading it. Yeah.
Oh, I love
The
that.
perfect
I love
storm.
that. Yeah. It's funny. And I was also in that kind of industry as well. I was a tax manager for over 10 years. So,
Oh.
and I
Oh.
had anxiety for over 30 years. So, we've each had our own struggles, and the reasons why we're here now is because of those different decisions that we made, right?
Oh yes. And it's about looking at those things that happened and bringing that level of gratitude and also that little peppering of responsibility in there as well. I think it really helps empower us on a different level. And I think if this already scripted all of these things that are to happen. So if we're less attached to why did that happen to me type of thing, because I know that's what I was like for a very long time. And just can separate a little bit, like, oh, isn't that interesting? And just keep moving. I think that really changes the frequency of things as well.
I love that. It's so true. Thank you for sharing. So, where's the best place for people to stalk you? They want to find more about your energy. Professional
Love
can only guys, though. Okay.
it. So, look, I'm all over socials. I mainly hang out on LinkedIn and Facebook, but I've got a little presence in Instagram as well. And then obviously the website, everything's under my name, Charlene Lynch, spelt with an S because I'm Irish. Yes. So the C is American. So I'm Irish. So it's spelt with an S. So Charlene Lynch, very Irish name. And yeah, you pretty much find me everywhere.
Beautiful. Are there any other messages you want to share with everyone, Charlene, before we wrap up?
So I know you've got this. You are designed with everything that you need inside of you. It's just getting out of your way. So my tagline at the end of everything is, you've got this because you do. You sometimes might need a coach or a mentor to help point you in the right direction, but fundamentally, you've got this.
I love that. So true. Cool. I'm going to press stop and thank our readers and listeners, and then we'll have a little chat if you've got 5 minutes. Beautiful. Okay. Thank you for joining us here, Charlene. I appreciate you.